That's a bingo.
888-971-SAGE. 888-971-7243. Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. According to a piece in NPR, since President Trump's been in office, there have been five major changes to Obamacare. We're going to talk to Sally Pipes. First of all, do you agree that these are, in fact, the five biggest changes to Obamacare? And have things gotten better or have things gotten worse? And what happens next? On the eve of the debate that will take place in about 53 minutes, this is the first one since there's been a formal or a semi-formal impeachment inquiry. I'm not quite sure what it is. First one since Bernie Sanders had his heart attack. First one since the revelations of Hunter Biden have come out. First one with Tom Steyer, the billionaire, in it. And the first one since Elizabeth Warren has given different explanations as to when and why and under what circumstances she stopped working as a special education teacher in the 70s. She recently said that she lost her job because she got pregnant, and back in the 70s, that's what she did to women. However, 2007, 2008, 2011, she gave a very different story as to why she stopped teaching, and had nothing to do with her being canned because she got pregnant. Since she's now the front runner, I would imagine somebody is going to bring this up. Whether a moderator does it or whether one of the rivals does it, we don't know. We'll find out. 888-971-SAGE. 888-971-7243. And a suspect killed an open borders advocate. Open borders advocate was riding his motorcycle, and a car swerved and hit him. Turns out the car was driven by, you got it, an illegal alien. All of that and more will be coming up. Now, Hunter Biden has broken his silence, gave an interview to ABC, and of course was asked whether or not he thinks he did anything wrong. Here's part of the interview.
Why did you leave the board in April?
It's a five-year term.
And you chose not to continue.
I chose not to. Yeah.
Why?
I think it's pretty obvious why.
This is your opportunity to say why.
Well, because this is what becomes a distraction, because I have to sit here and answer these questions. And so that's why I've committed that I won't serve on any boards or I won't work directly for any foreign entities when my dad becomes president.
Do you think that should be a rule across the board for any administration?
No. Look, that's the rule that I'm going to adhere to.
Do you regret being on the board to begin with?
No, I don't regret being on the board. What I regret is not taking into account that there would be a Rudy Giuliani and a president of the United States that would be listening to this ridiculous conspiracy idea, which has, again, been completely debunked by everyone. And, you know,
I think
we
people
are,
at
we
home
are
thinking, how could that not have crossed your mind? Or you wouldn't have felt just a little bit in your gut, like, maybe this isn't a good idea to go and sit on the board of this Ukrainian company.
I said to you, in retrospect, I wish
right,
that
but
my
the
judgment.
Time, you never thought this might not look right.
You know what? I'm a human. And you know what? Did I make a mistake? Well, maybe in the grand scheme of things, yeah. But did I make a mistake based upon some unethical lapse? Absolutely not.
This might not look right. Hunter Biden is the one who got a job with a Delaware company, insurance company, and insurance company that was the largest contributor to his father's campaign. Coincidence? We don't think so. Did you have any discussions with your old man about your being on this board of this Ukraine company?
No, in retrospect, look, I think that it was poor judgment on my part. Is that I think that it was poor judgment because I don't believe now, when I look back on it, I know that there was did nothing wrong at all. However, was it poor judgment to be in the middle of something that is it's a swamp in many ways? Yeah. And so I take full responsibility for that. Did I do anything improper? No, not in any way whatsoever. I joined a board. I served honorably. I focused on corporate governance. I didn't have any discussions with my father before or after I joined the board as it related to it, other than that brief exchange that we had.
Like his father, he's clueless when he says, I didn't do anything wrong. That's not the point. It is so not the point. In fact, the fact that this is perfectly legal is what bothers people. This is a party of inequality. This is a party that's anti-privilege. How do you explain this? He was asked what his qualifications were.
When he said, I hope you know what you're doing, what did he think you were doing?
Well, he read the press reports that I joined the board of Burisma, which was a Ukrainian natural gas company. And there's been a lot of misinformation about me, not about my dad. Nobody buys that, but it buys this idea that I was unqualified to be on the board.
What were your qualifications to be on the board of Burisma?
Well, I was vice chairman of the board of Amtrak for 5 years. I was the chairman of the board of the UN World Food Program. I was a lawyer for Boies Schiller Flexner, one of the most prestigious law firms in the world.
You didn't have any extensive knowledge about natural gas or Ukraine itself, though.
No, but I think that I had as much knowledge as anybody else that was on the board, if not more.
In the list that you gave me of the reasons why you're on that board, you did not list the fact that you were the son of the vice
president. Of course, yeah. No.
What role do you think that played?
I think that it is impossible for me to be on any of the boards that I just mentioned without saying that I'm the son of the vice president of the United States.
I think there's a lot of things that have happened in my life in the last, what?
In the list that you gave me of the reasons why you're on that board, you did not list the fact that you were the son of the vice president.
Of course, yeah. No.
What role do you think that played?
I think that it is impossible for me to be on any of the boards that I just mentioned without saying that I'm the son of the vice president of the United States.
You were paid $50,000 a month for your position?
Look, I'm a private citizen. One thing that I don't have to do is sit here and open my kimono as it relates to how much money I make or did or didn't. But it's all been reported.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
I don't know. Probably not. I don't think that there's a lot of things that would have happened in my life that that if my last name wasn't Biden.
If your last name wasn't Biden, would you be on that board? I don't know. It's hard for me to say. Yeah. He's had a drinking problem, and the interviewer actually asked him if this Ukraine story could start him drinking again.
In and out of rehab 7-8 times.
Say it nicer to me. Sought treatment for substance abuse issues several times.
I'm so sorry. But I want, like, I think this is a human question.
Yeah.
Do you worry?
No, but for real, let me say
something. Do you worry that all of this noise, even though it's just noise,
no,
it's still,
worry.
That it could affect your sobriety?
Of course. Look, you don't want to live in the worry of it. Because then you're feeding the beast. I have no answer other than this. You got to live in the connections that you have to healthy things. And I have so many of them. And I got to live there instead of living in fear like, oh, my God, the stress is going to make me drink or the stress is going to make me use.
And, of course, he slammed you-know-who.
And, you know, talk about Donald Trump's kids. And I never will. You know, that's not what Bidens do. My dad doesn't go after other people's kids. It just doesn't. Never has.
So you think it's perfectly fine? I mean, the Trump children have been criticized for doing similar sorts of business.
Look, unlike them, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about them. I really don't. It's all noise. And what they do is they create just an enormous amount of noise. I have to then answer questions about accusations made by probably the most unethical group of people that we've ever seen in this republic.
Now, for his part, Joe Biden says he's going to be transparent.
Of any consequence, that anything was done wrong or illegally by me or by my son, every major national, international, and local news operations looked into it has said it's a lie. This is the president's flat lying, number one. Number two. The statement my son put out today, which...
Lying about what? Lying about the fact that but for Biden's name being Biden, he wouldn't have gotten that job? Is that what he's lying about?
I saw when he put it out. I was told there was one being put out. I did not consult with him about what was being put out. In fact, represents the kind of man of integrity he is and what, in fact, he has done and why he stepped down. And I can tell you now, if I am your president... Next president, I'm going to build on the squeaky clean, transparent environment that we had in the Obama-Biden White House.
Squeaky clean. Squeaky clean. Fast and furious. Hillary's emails. Lois Lerner. Berg dog. Squeaky clean. Are you kidding me? We coming up. Sally Pipes with Pacific Research Institute. What about the five major changes in Obamacare since the president has been in office? Has it made things better or worse? And what happens next? 888-971-SAGE. I am Larry Elder. Do not leave town.
Call the Larry Elder Show now at 888-971-SAGE. That's 888-971-7243. Eldorados, let Larry know what's on your mind. All across America, the Larry Elder Show.
Hi, Larry. What I'm calling about is the president is pulling all troops out of Syria to allow Turkey to invade Syria. And what they're going to do is, I know they're going to do it because they did it before, they're going to slaughter all the Christians in Syria and other ethnic groups other than Muslims. And they're doing it now with the Kurds. They're killing Kurds that are not Muslims and Christians. And it's done out in the open now. I've seen video on it. And the president is doing not a damn thing about it.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. I know a number of you disagree with me, but I think this is the biggest blunder that the president has made since he's been in office. Mike Pence is right now flying to Turkey, presumably to put a lid on what's going on, but this did not have to happen. Now, my next guest is the president and chief executive officer of the Pacific Research Institute. That's a think tank based in the Bay Area that she founded back in 1979. Please welcome back to the program, Sally Pipes.
Thank you, Larry.
Hey, Sally, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Getting ready for the debate tonight to see what's on the docket for health care with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
Well, what is on the docket for health care?
Well, I mean, I think it is going to be, Larry, the number one issue in this election. Right now, Elizabeth Warren seems to be in top spot, and she is a signer on to Bernie Sanders' single-payer Medicare for All. She is still supporting it, although she won't say, you know, how much it's going to cost and how will it be paid for. She thinks that the rich will be able to be taxed in order to pay for it. But as you know, Larry, there aren't enough rich people to cover a program that would cost between $32 and $40 trillion over 10 years. So she's going to have to come up and say, you know, how it's going to be paid for. So we'll see if she does that tonight, because she is, as I say, rising in the polls. And of course, Bernie has had his heart attack, and thank God he was in America, right, in Vegas,
and not in Cuba.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, what is the position of some of the others? What's the healthcare position of Kamala Harris?
Well, Kamala Harris, of course, being the senator from California, you know, she has been in favor of single-payer Medicare for All, but she's a flip-flopper on the issue. You know, during the first debate, she said, oh, she put up her hand, yes, I support Medicare for All. And then later that night, she said, oh, I didn't understand the question. No, I'm for a slower approach to Medicare for All, a public option. She was in Ohio speaking at an old folks' home. And she had already just said before that she supported single payer. And this 92-year-old lady at the nursing home said, leave our health care alone. I mean, I thought that was terrific. So I think one of the reasons that Kamala has been falling in the polls is that people see her as a flip-flopper. They don't really know where she stands. I would say deep down, you know, she is very liberal. I think she does support single payer, meaning there would be no private health insurance left in this country, and we would all be on a government-run plan, such as in Canada, where I'm from, where you have long waits. The average wait in Canada today from seeing a primary care doctor getting treatment by a specialist is just under 20 weeks. Care is rationed for the older people, and no access to the latest treatments, long waits for MRIs, PT scans, and things like that. But I think that's what she really wants, but she can't sort of say it. She said also in that CNN debate back, earlier this year, I think it was in January in Iowa, when she said that she supported single payer, and then later that day she also said she didn't. She was speaking too fast. So we'll see.
We'll see. Sally Pipes is my guest. She's with Pacific Research Institute. She's also a columnist with Forbes. I'm still confused about whether or not Medicare for All means also for illegal aliens. Where do they stand on that?
Well, that question, of course, in California, as you know, Larry, Governor Newsom signed a bill which would allow about 90,000 illegals now up to the age of 26, it used to be 19, to get Medi-Cal in California at a cost of $98 million. I think that a lot of young people under 26 that are illegal immigrants will probably come to California just to get free health care, even though young people tend not to be as sick as older people like myself. But I think it was in the second debate when the people, the candidates were asked if they supported health care for illegal immigrants. Every single one of them put up their hands, and they said there are about 11 million illegals who would then be eligible for government-run health care. I think that number, 11 million, is probably low, but they think, you know, as Bernie Sanders has said, health care is a right, and everyone should have a right, whether they're legal or illegal. I totally disagree with this. I'm an immigrant myself, and I, you know, had a hard time getting through all the various systems in order to become an American and American citizen, before that to get a green card. And so I'm very much against, you know, Milton Friedman, the great Milton Friedman said, you know, if we didn't offer, you know, free health care, free education, and free welfare programs, there wouldn't be as many illegals in this country.
Mm-hmm. Sally Pipes, I sent you an article from NPR called Trump is Trying Hard to Thwart Obamacare. How's that going? And they list what they consider to be the five biggest changes to the law since President Trump's taken office. First of all, do you agree that those five things that they list are the five biggest changes that have taken place?
Well, I think that, you know, as you know, Larry, the president ran, when he was running for president, on an agenda which would repeal and replace Obamacare. I think he was elected because of that, because the American people found Obamacare wasn't working for them. You know, the high premiums, high deductibles, small networks of doctors and hospitals, and in many cases, only one plan to choose from on the exchanges. So, you know, the issues that are in that article, the five things, I mean, most of them are good things. The individual mandate being eliminated, that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. Many young people would just pay the individual mandate penalty of $695 or 2.5% of income, because it was a lot cheaper than buying an exchange plan on average for young people, about $450 a month. So it wasn't working. And then the people who are older and sicker put a lot of pressure on the system, and then the four insurance companies had to raise premiums even higher. The issue of Medicaid work requirements, I think that is a very good idea. We now have 73 million people in this country on Medicaid, the program for low-income Americans, anyone earning below 138% of the federal poverty level. And, of course, a lot of these people will not go out and get a job because they don't want to lose the free Medicaid, and they also don't really want to go to work. This is a way to get those people who can work and are able to work off a government program and, you know, get back into the labor force and contribute to society.
Cost-sharing reduction subsidies to insurers have ended. Is that good or bad?
I think it was a good thing. I mean, I totally agree. President Trump was right on that. The insurance companies were being paid these cost-sharing reduction subsidies to cover the cost of the people on Obamacare who were getting subsidies. And as you know, the number of people on Obamacare on the exchanges, whether healthcare.gov or state exchanges, it's really been pretty constant from 2014 through now, about anywhere from up to maximum 12 million down to about 10, 11 million. But 86% of those people who are on the exchanges are getting subsidies. So about 10 million people are getting subsidies, and about 2 million are paying. And of the 2 million paying, a lot of those people who, you know, found the premiums were too high have actually dropped their health care. So it is a good thing that the insurers should not have been subsidized by the government to cover this.
My guest is Sally Pipes with the Pacific Research Institute. Sally, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you said that health care is going to be probably the top issue in this election. What is President Trump's argument? What is he going to say? I've eliminated the individual mandate. I've eliminated cost sharing. I've done this. I've done that. What is he going to say in order to turn the numbers around that show him being underwater on the issue of health care? I'm Larry Elder with Sally Pipes. Don't leave town.
Larry will be right back. Stay tuned. I'm going to send him to outer space
to find another race. Even you don't know by now.
Welcome back to the Pain-Free ReliefFactor.com studios. It's the Sage, Larry Elder.
Hey, Larry. I want to weigh in on this NBA China controversy, and this is important because I'm 5'8". Listen, yep, and a half. The big winner last week is Yao Ming. There's more searches on his name now than there was when he was in the NBA, and he's being touted as the reason that the Houston Rockets are popular in China. The big loser, Kim Jong-un. For one, he's short, but the other is because now he's not famous for launching the rockets across the ocean. It's China, so they're kind of taking that up away from Kim Jong-un. So you see where I'm coming from. but maybe we can at least have a Houston Rockets free peninsula. What do you think, Larry?
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to my listeners. He's now offering deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers and bed sheets, and so much more. They're also bringing back the buy one, get one free offer for the MyPillows. That's right, buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. And all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. So go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Use promo code Larry or call 800-890-1843 for these great radio specials. My guest is Sally Pipes, Pacific Research Institute President and CEO. All right, Sally. Donald Trump's going to get beaten up tonight on health care and all the changes that he's made in health care. They're all going to say that he's made things worse. What will Donald Trump say during a debate against whoever his opponent is about health care?
Well, I think, you know, he definitely will come out very strongly and say that the idea of single-payer Medicare for all would be a disaster for the American people. He said that publicly, and I think he really believes it. So he wants to make sure that the American people understand what Medicare for all would be: long waits, higher taxes, ration care, all of these things. So he will do that. I think, though, you know, he did say, you know, over the past few months, he said he's going to bring out a health care plan. It's going to be a fabulous plan. We haven't, you know, he hasn't done that so far. He did come out a couple of weeks ago and say that, you know, we need to expand health savings accounts, the accounts where you can put money away every month in a bank account, carry it forward, you tie it to a high deductible health insurance plan. These are a great way to put consumers back in charge of their health care, and I think he really supports that. People who are over 65 on Medicare today aren't allowed to put money into their HSA, and he wants to change that. He wants people to be able to put more money away into their HSA than they can right now. So he's really supporting consumer choice, putting doctors and patients in charge of their health care. So I think he will definitely come out strongly in favor of that. I think he will talk about Medicare and Medicaid, how these programs will go bankrupt. So we've got to make changes, make Medicare. We need to means test it. We need to raise the age from 65 up to, you know, slowly, I would say up to, you know, 70, and we'll see if that happens. But certainly, you know, people are working longer today, and they don't, you know, their life expectancy is up to 80. So I think you'll talk about that. I think you will talk about pre-existing conditions, how the fact that the Republicans, you know, aren't for taking people off their coverage and putting them on the streets. He'll talk about how we only have about 6 million Americans who are in the individual market who have pre-existing conditions. One thing would be to allow people to buy their coverage, and if they keep it and keep it current over the years, they wouldn't be faced with much, you know, higher premiums in their health care. And also to then allow the feds to put money into the states so that they can beef up their high-risk pool, say $2 to $3 billion, so that those people who have a hard time with a pre-existing condition who can't get coverage, they would be able to get coverage in these high-risk pools in their state. And it would take the pressure off younger people and healthier people who are having to pay higher premiums to subsidize these people. So I think those are some of the things that he will talk about. At the same time, beating down on why Medicare for All, single-payer, would be a disaster for all Americans.
Sally Pice, we have just a minute left. Why do you suppose President is polling so poorly on this issue? He gets good numbers on the economy, but when it comes to health care, his numbers are not good.
Well, I think, first of all, you know, as I said at the beginning, he promised to repeal and replace Obamacare. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen and hasn't happened. The other thing is that Bernie Sanders has really brought the issue of single payer to the public. It's become a really big issue. And when people say, when he says healthcare will be free, it sounds like a great idea. But then in the polling from Kaiser, Kaiser Family Foundation, when people are told that they would lose their private coverage, which 180 million Americans have, the support goes down to 37%. And when they're told that their taxes would have to increase to pay for this, polling also goes down. Support goes down to 37%. So I think when people hear something's free, it sounds like a great idea. When they understand what it means in terms of taxes, losing their private coverage, they don't like it. And I think he has to explain that to the American people.
Sally Pipes, Pacific Research Institute. Sally, I'd be looking forward to tonight, and let's find out how health care comes up.
Right, exactly. Me too. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Do not leave town.
The Larry Elder Show.
Hi, Larry. Mike from Santa Clarita. I think that all of these news shows, they should be listed either as an opinion show or what they are. And I also think, as a permanent logo at the bar, in addition to that, whether the host voted Democrat or Republican. I think that is something that should be on there. The FCC should require that.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Woody's Post, Jeff Zucker, the president and CEO of CNN, said when he had his morning meeting about Project Veritas expose. Well, somebody was there and somebody recorded what he said. We'll have that for you in just a second. Now, it's no secret to my listeners that we're in a real David versus Goliath situation when it comes to the American culture. The David in this battle is Alliance Defending Freedom, the nonprofit legal defense organization, and ADF keeps on winning. The Goliath we're facing, the forces of secularism, the attempts to squeeze religion out of American life, still pose a dangerous challenge, as U.S. Attorney William Barr just told students at Notre Dame.
We are told we are living in a post-Christian era, but what has replaced the Judeo-Christian moral system? No secular creed has emerged capable of performing the role of religion. This is organized destruction. Secularists and their allies have marshaled all the forces of mass communication, popular culture, the entertainment industry, and academia in an unremitting assault on religion and traditional values.
Now, the challenges keep coming, and Alliance Defending Freedom stands ready to meet this challenge by providing free legal defense to clients whose first freedom is under attack. But the fact is, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars, sometimes millions, to offer free legal services and fight the well-funded liberal activists who are continually trying to strip away your freedoms. Your best tax-deductible gift of $100, $1,000 or more right now will help Alliance Defending Freedom protect your freedom and provide the necessary resources to fight these battles. So please go to the ADF banner at the top of my homepage, LarryElder.com. Click on it to make your gift in any amount online. Or you can call toll-free 866-435-2252. That's 866-435-2252 to help Alliance Defending Freedom keep winning battles for you. The silence has now been broken. LeBron James has weighed in on the NBA China-Hong Kong controversy and has come down squarely against the Hong Kong dissidents and against the GM, the hapless GM who sent out this innocuous tweet saying, "A fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong," a tweet that has since been deleted. He's apologized for the tweet. The NBA came down on him like a ton of bricks. Also, a suspect in a Colorado crash that killed a father of five was an illegal alien, and the father of five was an open borders activist. All of that and more. Now, article in CNN Business I want to talk about real quickly. Headline, it's 2019 and just one in five C-suite executives is a woman. I guess C-suite is the big board, top of the heap. You know, one of the memes, of course, of the media is that racism remains a major problem in America. Another meme, pushed equally adamantly, is that sexism remains a major problem in America. Now, this is what CNN Business said. Quote, "More women have found their way into the C-suite in the past 5 years. But reaching parity with men in leadership roles is still far out of reach." Listen to this next paragraph. "The percentage of C-suite executives who are women has risen to 21%, up from 17% 5 years ago. And 44% of companies now have three or more women in their C-suite, up from 29% in 2015. Now, here's the third paragraph. This is the one I want you to focus on. "Despite these improvements, gender disparity at the top shows no sign of disappearing." End of quote. Now, an increase of 17% to 21% in 5 years is an increase of 23.5% over a five-year period of time. And the increase from 29% to 44%. That's also what? 25%? 30%? Now, it seems to me, if something has picked up 23.5% in 5 years, you're talking about a moving target. But the whole approach to this article, the whole theme was, women are still getting jacked over. Yeah, we've got 25% increase in 5 years. But parity is still far away. It's a moving picture. 44% now have three or more women in their C-suite, up from 29%. And that's not substantial progress. Now, do you remember when your friend and mine, Sam Donaldson, said this?
They want to return this country to the white Christian country that they believe it should be again. They don't want the diversity, and they follow him for this. But they're not the country. We are a diverse people. We're good and strong because of that, and we're going to come back to that, I assure you.
Sam Donaldson is referring to Trump supporters. They want to return this country to a white Christian country, he says. Now, I told you yesterday, it was a study by researchers at University of Pennsylvania. They've been following 500 whites for something like 10 years, focus groups, asking them all sorts of questions. And they just knew that since 2016, because of Donald Trump, these whites would be more likely to express negative anti-black thoughts and negative Hispanic thoughts. Just the opposite. And there's no evidence whatsoever that Donald Trump has made the country more racist. In fact, there was just a poll showing the support for diversity, the number of people that believe diversity is good soup, is at an all-time high. 69% of Republicans say diversity enhances our American culture. The reason I brought this up, that picture of Obama with Louis Farrakhan, you ever look at what the Muslims, the Nation of Islam Muslims, want? They want a separate country or territory for black people. They also oppose intermarriage or race mixing. So the Congressional Black Caucus won't condemn Farrakhan. Farrakhan took a picture with Obama we didn't see until years after Obama left. And it's Trump people that want segregation. When Farrakhan's Nation of Islam statement or principles, we want our own territory. We oppose interracial couples, race mixing. I'm Larry Elder.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show.
Love is monkey see and monkey do. Would I lie to you?
El Dorado's Let Larry Know What's On Your Mind.
So let me ask you, you and Elizabeth Warren have pretty close to identical positions on the big issues. What do you say to those who say that they would pick her because she's 8 years younger than you, she didn't just come through this, you didn't just have a heart attack, and look, in the positions, you're pretty much the same.
Well, look, everybody, every American is going to make his or her own choice about the candidate that they want, and Elizabeth Warren has been a friend of mine for some 25 years, and I think she is a very, very good senator. But there are differences between Elizabeth and myself. Elizabeth, I think, as you know, has said that she is a capitalist through her bones. I'm not.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. I guess when you have your honeymoon in Moscow in 1988, a few years before the country collapses, and you come back and pronounce the country swell, yeah, I guess there are some differences. 888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. We now have six finalists for our Culture Warrior of the Year. You can go to my website right now and vote. There were 500 nominees, and we got it down to six. They are Candace Owens, Alan Sears, Gary Sinise, Abby Johnson, Franklin Graham, and Charlie Kirk. So go to my website, LarryElder.com. You'll see Culture Warrior of the Year, and make your choice. A suspect in a Colorado crash that killed a father of five was facing deportation. The irony is that the man killed, the father of five, was an open borders advocate, had posted all sorts of things like that on social media, advocating sanctuary laws and protection of illegal aliens. We've been talking all day about the undercover video that was shot by a whistleblower at CNN, and Jeff Zucker is the president and CEO, and he was quoted and said many times that we have to get back to impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. And several of the CNN employees said that Jeff Zucker hated President Trump had a personal vendetta against him. I guess he feels guilty because he green-lighted The Apprentice when Jeff Zucker worked at NBC, and I guess he feels he created a monster. In their morning call yesterday, here is what Jeff Zucker said. I guess somebody recorded it.
I want to acknowledge that I know many of you have seen these tweets from Project Veritas and Veritas. What's going on with them. Obviously, we are unsure of what that's about, and here's the deal. Let's just do our jobs and not worry about it, okay? And I am unconcerned, and what we need to do is just do our job.
A CNN staffer also, by the way, admits that there is a racial bias at CNN. Said if 3 people get shot in Newark, nobody cares. All of that and more, 888-971-SAGE. I'm Larry Elder.
Larry Elder, all true, all devastating.